Shellfish Management Advisory Committee meeting. It's 4 o'clock here at VMRC, and if we might have one more participant come into the meeting, otherwise I think we'll get started. We have two items on the agenda. One we're going to dispense with pretty quickly, and then we're going to get into limited entry in the public fishery and continue our discussions. The first issue was something that was brought up at VMRC meeting a couple weeks ago, the end of June, and that had to do with SAV, submerged aquatic vegetation, and aquaculture cages in particular that are growing oysters. There was a motion by an associate commission member, and it was approved to direct this committee, us, to look at policies that regulate the use of those structures, cages, in SAV and oyster lease ground, existing policies, and see if there need to be changes. So the commissioner wanted it to go to this committee, and I think Jim had an idea about maybe appointing a subcommittee to look at those policies and maybe report back to us, and then we would send any recommendations or such to VMRC. So if anybody has an objection or suggestion, we might move in a different direction. Otherwise, Jim, I'll leave it up to you to appoint. There might be a few people on here that would be interested in serving on that subcommittee. Otherwise, maybe you had an idea of who would be on the committee.
Yeah, I mean,
three or four members, maybe.
Well, I mean, we probably have to get in Orth and possibly somebody from, like they talked, DEQ and the Corps, and then several members from this group. So.
Okay.
Or and people that have more experience with this problem, because most of these you guys don't have experience with that, so we would like to get...
That's right.
No, we can do that.
Okay, all right. So you'll work on that, and then I guess report back to us, okay? Anybody have comments on that? I guess really it is kind of out of our wheelhouse for the most part, but some of us, Richie, myself,
yeah,
and
involved in
other
it.
People might have...
Mostly issues on the Eastern Shore.
You want somebody in the Western Shore on there, too? Or?
I mean, the only person I know of that has issues around his lease is Tommy Luggett.
Okay.
I mean, he does have SAV around his. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if any of y'all have a burning desire to be on the subcommittee.
I mean, Richie, you impart all your good knowledge on us. That'd be good.
Yeah. Do I have to answer that right now?
I'd like to know if you want to be on it.
It'd be a potential listee.
we'll discuss this later, Jim.
Yeah. You don't want to record it, though.
Yes. All right, we can move on from there maybe and get into the limited entry in the public oyster fishery. I think last time we met Jim a couple weeks ago. Well, first, is Dan on the phone or anybody else?
Dan, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
We had two, I think, do-outs from the last meeting, and the first one was an attorney general position on whether or not we could move forward on limited entry fishery, and then the other one had to do with whether or not the user resource fee is, in fact, a tax. So... Can we get those opinions?
Yep. Here's the answer to both those questions. the commission does have all the authority to do ever control, and that whether user fees are taxed or not, that makes a difference. That it can be used as a basis for an entry system. So those two issues are
resolved.
Yeah.
Well, that was quick. If everything was that easy, we'd be in good shape. So those two issues, if anybody has a concern or a question, otherwise we can maybe move on with the discussion.
All right.
And not to be nitpicking, but is that from the Attorney General's office or is that from the representative that sits with the commission?
That's in the Attorney General's office.
Because it's not posted on their website, and it should be written and signed by the Attorney General if that's an official opinion.
This is the way we get opinions from...
I'm just asking if it's an official opinion, which is what we requested, there'll be a signed document by the Attorney General.
Well,
as well, as I looked this morning, it will be listed
request a signed document.
If you requested an official opinion, you would have gotten a signed document, and it would be listed as an opinion on the Attorney General's website.
Well,
and again, the motion was made for an official opinion.
Well, if we can go back and get in this
just, I mean, again, not to be...
At this point, that's not an issue, I don't think.
So in your opinion, he would sign, he would accommodate what Ben just asked?
Yeah, it'll take a good while.
Okay.
That, you That won't be something you can do in 2 weeks.
No, it won't be.
Yeah.
But it will be official when he signs it.
Yeah.
Not, again, somebody in his office may put it together and he may review it and sign it, but it will be an official.
Well, I think the bottom line is it's official enough at this point. It gives us direction to continue moving forward, you know, so. And we'll get the official document in the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other request from you was for us to, you know, to show you some examples of how an entry system would be. And did two potential scenarios. The first, obviously, would be using the control date, which we have 1,124 individuals right now. 382 purchased after the user fee control date will be removed from the fishery, which leaves 742 that had purchased their user fee prior to the control date. And from that, to get into the fishery, you could have immediate family transfer, transfers within your immediate family, and you could buy back in. And buying back in, our recommendation would be that you had to buy in from somebody that had 40 days worth of activity the year before. Because you don't want to be buying back in zeros, because then you don't get anywhere to improve. The another scenario that it seemed like people were interested in not worrying about the control dates, as we had these people that were in and working a lot. So we put the scenario that if we maintain the freeze, which is where we are now, 1,124, and say that, you know, in order to stay in, you had to continue to buy a user fee. If you don't buy a user fee, you're out. And there'd be no new sales or user fees until we reach 600. And if you want to get into the fishery before we reach 600, again, you have immediate family transfers, or the same thing, you can buy in from somebody that has 40 days of harvest.
Define immediate family.
Grandfather, father, son.
So uncles.
So that's two potential scenarios.
Can you explain the 600, no new sales or user fees until reach 600?
Well, we got to get down to some figure.
Uh-huh.
And then once you got to 600, then people can start buying again. Yeah, once you got down to 600, then it would be back open, and we would have to come up with some system about who would get to buy in, whether, I mean, they were kind of explaining to me today, they do things like this with the commercial hook and line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were like, there was like one opening this year, and they had a lottery for it. Or you could have a waiting list, either one. But you wouldn't start selling new ones off the shelf until we got down to 600.
So where did the 600 come from?
The 600?
Just roughly half of the 1,124? I mean,
it really ought to be lower. It's kind of, 600 is a high number. It's kind of where we were in 2013.
Okay.
We had 661 then. Mm-hmm.
So are we still leaving people in with no activity reported before the control date?
But they can't sell it. They got to either go use it.
All right. Well, how many people have, how many licenses will be available with people who work 40 days or greater?
320.
Jim, just you're going to make this available by email after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So all committee members will get this by email.
Okay. Is it 30? Is 464 is the ones who work less than 30 days?
No. If you went down and say anybody can sell their license if they had only 30 days, you get 464 people that could sell their license. of course, this will slow you down getting to the 600.
Mm-hmm.
But at least your license for those that are working have value.
Anybody have questions?
Jim, what happens if somebody gets sick and can't work 1 year under that plan and wants to sell the license? I mean, the crab pot industry, the crab industry works that way, doesn't it?
As long as they buy the user fee, they can stay in. If they want to sell the license, they can only sell if they had, what we're saying, 40 days of harvest before.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have that, you can, anybody can sell.
So he's saying you can still pay your user fee and continue on whether you harvest or not.
Yeah. But that way, at least the people that are sitting on the shoreline and doing nothing are at least contributing to the fishery and putting that money back in the fishery so they can keep their license. I mean, if you want to just drop out and not pay a user fee, then you're out. So if it's something you think you might do, then you ought to contribute to the replenishment efforts.
It just seems, I mean, with such, they're working such a small amount and taking such few oysters from the fishery, why are we so concerned about the people that aren't doing anything?
I'm not concerned about it. They're in.
But, I mean, they're not really taking anything to speak of. They're not hurting anybody.
Late effort.
But you don't want somebody to be able to buy a zero and come into the fishery and catch and work 80 days.
So that's the point. You think somebody would buy, you take a person that's not doing anything, he would get bought up by somebody who would be someone that would work and produce a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, Jim, the potential is there. When you figure your quota for this year, when you go before the commission and you've got 50,000 bushels of oysters in Rappahannock River on two areas, well, you're going to use that 1,120 people as your basis for, you don't use that. What number would you use?
No, I mean, I'm not going to make it. I mean, if we go with this, I'm not making any further recommendations for stay where we are with the 8 bushels and the.
Mm-hmm. But if we didn't, if they went status quo, you would, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest problem, is the possibility of the effort coming back into the fishery. There's always that chance.
Yes.
Out of 300 and
if some, we don't do anything on effort control.
Right.
Yes.
So, that didn't report any catch at all last year.
Yeah.
So if there's like a boat limit on how much can be brought in on the boat.
We have a boat limit now.
Mm-hmm.
But as that boat limit can constrain the value of those licenses from those people that aren't producing anything, because, you know, I can understand somebody on a boat wanting to get an extra license because they can catch more oysters, but if there's a limit on a boat that stops that.
Well, we recommended, you know, going down to just two on a boat last year, and it did not make it.
There was a boat limit of two on last year?
That was a recommendation last year on the commission,
And that was 16 or 16 bushels to the boat?
16 bushels.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a recommendation of this committee last year.
And it
didn't pass. No.
It did not pass.
Mm-hmm. Went back to 24, but we had 4-day work week.
Mm-hmm. Well, that it seems to me that would take care of a lot of that without putting the limitations on those people.
Well,
I mean, if you can have four people on the boat getting oysters, but you can only have two.
Three. We can only have three.
Three
was what we had last year. Three is what we've had in recent times. So.
Apologize for being late, but traffic was a.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to see real quick what we're talking about?
If you can catch me up real quick without holding people up, I just don't know what we're talking about.
You were here last time?
Yes.
Asked for to do some scenarios on one of them. So the first one is to use the control date, which is in the regulation. It says we have to do it, so we'll have to rescind that out of the regulation if we do it. 382 bought after the control date, leave 742. And then to get into the fishery, to be one of the 742, you could have immediate transfer between family, father, grandfather, son, or you can buy back in as long as you buy from somebody that has 40 days. And then the other one was, since it seemed to be leaning here with not kicking out the good people in the after control day. So this is maintaining the freeze that we did in March, hold 1124, which is all the user freeze we have, In order for them to stay in the fishery, they got to purchase their user fee every year. They don't purchase it 1 year, they're out. And no new sales until we hit 600. And then if you to get into that one that are in at any time, you can get that same family transfer or buy from somebody that had 40 days.
So with this scenario, is 1,100 and how many?
1,142 right now. Where are we at right now?
You buy a user fee, and you can still work the fishery.
If you buy from somebody that had 40 days. Oh, you can only buy from somebody that had 40 days the year before.
No, you just keep paying your user fee, and it doesn't matter.
If you pay a user fee, you can just stay in.
And you can still work the fishery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or not work it.
Or not work 40 days.
You just can't sell it if you don't use it.
You can't. If you got zero harvest, you can't go sell it to somebody that's going to go get 80 days.
Okay. So that's keeping that level of effort there. So it's keeping a lot of latent effort.
For a while. Yeah.
Until people just stop buying.
Well, there's a whole lot of latent effort in the when you kick out the ones from the control day, too. There were a lot of, if you remember looking at those graphs, there was a lot of people that didn't use them. A lot of people, 100. There's a big number. I can find that slide if you want to see it, but there's a big group that's not using any of their stuff.
Hey, Jim, is this what you're planning on presenting to the commission, the staff is?
Well, I would love for you all to pick one.
I understand that. But I mean, this is it. I mean, nothing else, no extras. It's one of the two, right?
We looked at the way we did it last year, looking at the number of days, but it's so hard to do that because we looked at everybody that had hand scraper dredges, and when you go to combine them, it is really hard. It's a really big exercise, and we weren't really getting any more information than what we were getting already for the bushels per man. I mean, you couldn't compare apples to oranges, but we had more people than had user fees that we were considering the way we did it. But the way we decided to do it last year, you just used the license.
Right.
And reported harvest in either hand scrape or dredging. So that was just too hard.
Right. Well, you broke it down by gear type.
Yeah. And we tried to put it back together and then add another year, and it was just too confusing.
So instead of any other, what you did is options of catch limits, season lengths, shortened days. That's out of the window if we choose one of these two right here.
Yes, sir. Both happen.
AJ.
Yes, sir.
So this the second scenario you brought up. Which 1,124 people, does that go back to last year or the year before?
It goes back to the first day we had since we started the user fee. Anybody that had a user fee since July of 2013,
okay,
when we started. So anybody that had one any time in that period is in right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Even though we only had, like last year, we only had 991 people that bought user fees, but this would make 1,124 starting from scratch, 1,124 that had a user fee would be eligible.
And you're shooting to get back down to get down to 600
before you start selling again. Okay. Selling user fee.
Here's my thoughts on all this. Way back when, I don't know, 20 some years ago, when we implemented or started this commercial registration fee, that was to protect full time watermen. And I mean, I think that's a good thing. But what all this limited entry on all these different fisheries has made crabbers, and oystermen, and I hate to kick people out of the fishery. I really do. So personally, I'm in favor of the second option. It's going to keep more people in it. Granted, it's not where you want it to be, but it's at least giving more people the option to work in the wintertime. I just hate the thought of kicking people out. Now, I don't think all these 1,124 people are going to work. I really don't. I think people are going to get tired of paying $300 a year. So it's like you said, it's going to at least those people that late in effort is at least going to be contributing something. And if they're serious, they're going to pay it. And if they're not, they're going to get tired of paying $300. So
I agree.
That's my thought, and my preference.
Is there any data that shows the amount of
folks that have like two people working on it versus three people working on it? Is there any data like that?
You know, I mean, we can mine the data for that, but what you generally see is that at the beginning of each area that opens, you got a lot of threes, and then they jettison a person as the harvest goes down.
Okay. So
that's a lot of your temporary work.
How does that usually work out to be? What percentage of those people there are just two people on a boat versus three? Would you guess?
A lot of them go down to one.
Mm-hmm. So what would you, just without having to mine that data, what would you say the percentage of boats that just have two on it?
I don't know. I mean, the buyers would have a better feeling for that than I would.
I know when we do a report, we have to put, you know, whether it's a crew on there or not.
Yeah, I mean, we can look for that,
You said last year you put the limit, we approved for a limit to be put a 16 on a boat, but that was not approved and it went to 24. Is that correct?
That's right.
So what I'm trying to figure out is how reasonable is it to make it 16 to the boat?
I mean, the committee thought it was reasonable last year.
But doesn't each one of those persons have to have a user pay the user?
Yeah, you still got to have a user. Okay.
So you got the same amount of people. You put them
I mean, we have four boats that are working more with four guys on the boat at the beginning of the season.
Uh-huh. More boats.
But they can only get 24.
Yeah, that was the argument last year. It's just going to add more boats to the fleet. Instead of having 24 on a boat and you put 16, that person jumps on another boat, you add another boat to the fleet. So it just increases the fleet size.
Well, that's a pretty major expense for somebody to jump in and get a license. If they buy a license from somebody because they wanted to sell it from 40 days, they got to buy a whole rig to be able to go and do it. Plus, they have to have the knowledge to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Can't anybody just go out there and put a dredge and catch them?
No, but they'd go on another boat with one of their friends. I think that's what
we're talking. They already have a license.
Yeah, they already have a license, yeah.
AJ.
Yes.
I want to add one other thing. The other thing that I'm really leery about with all of this is regarding the crab fishery. Years ago, when we started looking at cutting back effort on the crab fishery, I think the first thing that was done was all you had to do was buy a license and you were in the fishery. So I'm going to use myself as an example. I did that every year, and I switched to clamming. I was patent tonguing clams. I didn't report any harvests. I wasn't lying about it, but I kept buying my license in the event that one day I wanted to go back and set crab pots, or my son would, I could pass that on to him. And then they changed all of that, trying to get rid of latent effort, and you had to report harvest. So those people that lied about, and all you had to do was lie about it and report one bushel of crabs, and you were in the fishery. So I lost my crab license, and I was put on the waiting list. You know, I'd like to get my crab license back in the event that I could use it one day. I hope I never have to set another crab pot. That goes back to that thing of protecting the full-time commercial waterman so that we can switch between what we're doing to make a living.
Yeah,
so whatever we do, and again, I'm in favor of the second option. I just want to make sure it's all spelled out so that we don't get screwed and people don't get screwed up in this whole thing.
Well, I agree with that. I want to protect my gear for my family.
Yeah.
I definitely want to do that. I mean, I've paid the fees and I've worked hard. And I've got the knowledge, and I would like to pass that on to my descendants.
Yeah, Rich.
I have a question, Jim. You probably answered on this thing, but 40 days—that's activity of all gear types combined.
Yeah, oyster activity.
Oyster activity period.
Yeah. Hand on anything. I mean, we've made this now so it's user paid, that you can transfer within the fishery anything you want.
But that wouldn't count towards
public. It's not private.
That's
people that are working on private. They don't get to utilize that in their figure at all.
Okay. That includes patent tonguing too, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything due for
orchard. Anything pertaining to
any public orchard. Yeah. And it's not setting a bushel amount. It's a day amount. If you only caught two, it's still a day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the information that has come over here where you've broke down to people that were only catching one or two or three or four bushels a day as to the fact that they would be worthy of being weeded out as I recall, I remember seeing statistics yeah. like that.
I mean, I can show you that if you need to see.
No, I understand. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's in the PowerPoint you got 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. I just when staff starts looking at things and start knocking people out, you know, they look at those figures, you know, say, this guy's only catching one or two a day. We need to get rid of him. I mean, we just need to realize that.
Well, I think we need to realize it, John, but I think we also need to realize what else is going on. The ones that depend on this are the ones that get ousted. The one, you know, as you and I guess your son, I guess you're talking about, was catching, you know, all, you know, these oysters that you got on your private grind, which it must be enough. I'm sure there's enough on it. While you were making that living, anytime, 6 days a week that you wanted to, I guess you could do it 7. I don't know how many days you can do that. We got cut down to 4 days last year because of the people that could potentially do that. You know, I understand your concern, but I'm looking at it from the other side.
Yeah, but
the ones so far that's been getting hit is the ones that's in it, the ones that's doing it, the ones that people depend on it. You're looking at it as a insurance policy or as a something to fall back on or just that have the availability to do that. And I don't, you know, I understand that. I don't blame you. I completely get that. But for that availability, people like me, the people that have to do this, I have nothing else to do. I'm too dumb to do anything, to go back to school. I'm too old. And I don't have anything else. This is what I have to depend on, and because of the people that want this availability, that wants this to be able to fall back on, I'm the one that has to take the hit on it. And that's the way that I'm looking at it. I think the second option, if you're in, if you have the user fee since 2013, you're in. And the only thing is you can't sell it if you didn't have the 40 days. Well, that's fine. I mean, I think out of these options, I think the second option is the better one.
But I agree with you, and as right as you are, there's another factor you have to put in there, too. There have been times when the amount of product that I had on my oyster ground was so deficient that not only did I have to work maybe 1 or 2 days a week on my private ground, I had to go to public ground as well because, you know, the way I always look at it, we're just one hurricane away from poverty, and I think most everybody on their staff knows that. And, you know, just things are good for me right now, but that doesn't mean it's going to be like that the rest of my life. Four times in the 40 years I've been in business, I've lost every oyster I own. So I know how you feel. Don't get me wrong. I know that you want to make sure that there's enough for you to catch all the time, and I'm not trying to be greedy. I just don't think – I think that, you know, as long as I can catch them on my private, I'm not going to go to the public. But when things get tough, I don't have no choice. And there's a lot of people like me.
Well, you bought the fee, you're in.
Thank you for telling me that.
I didn't.
This guy right here didn't.
Dan, did you have a comment?
No, sir. Not yet.
Anybody else on either one of these options? I think you know, it's important to keep in mind, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago when we met before, but the goal of this committee when we started looking at limited entry was to protect the full-time waterman, and also to have transferability for the younger generation to be able to come into this fishery and have a mechanism for them to be able to do that. So I'm not offering support for either one of the options, but I think that's important to keep in mind.
AJ.
Yep.
Well said. I'm new to this committee, but I have a feeling if we don't come to agreement, staff, when they go to the commission, has an open slate to do what they want, even though Jim says this is what he's going to do, but we know what happened last year. We need to have some type of something to offer against the staff when they go to the commission in August, September.
August.
Yeah.
August, yeah.
So, I mean, we need to do something. You know, this second option right here, looks pretty good to me. And I think what we all said here, worried about, is the working waterman, especially where I'm at in Reedville, a lot of the younger guys. We're very fortunate. And this seems to keep these guys in it.
Well, does anybody object to the second option at this table?
Can you go back to option one, Jim, just for a second?
Well, I think part of the, I don't know about objection to it, but I think last time we had the meeting, John, it was there were people that wanted status quo, period, just status quo.
Status quo right now is a freeze.
Well, you're maintaining the freeze, right, but you're also requiring people to pay the user fee, you know, regardless if they harvest the first bushel, you know.
What was the option one?
That second sentence.
This is the user control date. So those folks that bought it after July 1st, 2014, which was the 382 of them, would be gone.
And that's irrespective.
Second option, Jim? I thought that was the first.
That's first. Yeah, they said go back.
Yeah.
You didn't see where we were sitting on the picture. The picture that was up was the second one, so we went back to number one, control date.
Enacting the control date, Jim, is irrespective of any amount of harvest, whether somebody caught and reported one bushel or 1,000 bushels, and whether or not they spent one day on the water.
All 382 of them are gone. We had guys in there that had 80 days, you know.
Okay. So that's not what you recommend today.
This is what the regulation says we should do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is.
Enacting the control date. Would take everybody out.
The regulation says that where we are right now, that participation by any individual in the public art fishery after control day will not be considered in the calculation. So by the regulation right as it stands right now, they're gone.
When was that adopted?
July 1st, 2014.
Okay.
I think you're going to have a big stink if that happens.
Yeah, I think we're only after the bulletproof vest working that air.
That's terrible.
But what you're suggesting today on your slide a while ago was that there's 1,124 individuals who bought license by, I guess, July 1, 2016.
Well, it was actually, we put a freeze on it in March.
Mm-hmm.
The commission put a freeze on it more in March until this group worked it out.
Mm-hmm. But they paid the user fees.
Anybody that paid user fees any time since it started in July 2013 is in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to keep paying. And then you got to keep paying it year after year. Whether you use it or not. I mean, whether you harvest or not.
If it's coming January, you don't pay it, you lose it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if.
But if you want to transfer.
991 people that got it in 2016 so far, if they don't pay by December 31st, they're gone.
I got you.
That should limit entry pretty good, I would think. Mm-hmm. Because that user fee, what's that total?
$300 a person.
So there's a bunch of people in that 1124 that did not purchase the user fee.
Well, that's in 2015, we had 991 individuals. I think we're up right now. Last time I looked, we're up in the 600s right now that have gone in so far for 16. Of course, a lot of people didn't work in the spring because it wasn't that good. But if they don't buy before December 31st, they're out come January 1st. And then it'll happen again the next year until we work ourselves down to 600.
Well, it's going to be a form of attrition.
Yeah.
And they have to sell 40 days a year? Have to sell 40 days a year to stay in?
They got to work 40 days.
Keep selling money in.
No, I mean, if you keep paying your user fee, you don't have to work one day.
Okay.
But if you want to sell it.
But so if
what
you want
you're
to
saying,
sell it.
What you're saying, if you want to sell it.
If you want to sell it, you have
and
you to
gotta work 40 days.
40 days a year
okay.
before.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's what I was confused.
But how about if you transfer it to a family member?
No, then
you could be sick and transfer it to your son.
Yeah, that would happen anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some other little caveats that in it we would add, just like all the limited industry fisheries. You've got on military service or.
Okay.
Medical.
Disability.
I mean, it'd be just like the other one. So, but the main thing is that you can't be getting one from a first cousin or an uncle or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where'd you come up with the 40 days? And can we go back to that table?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
would you anticipate there would be a fallout in purchasers of that user fee?
I think a lot of people just bought them, to sit on them.
You think people would just quit paying it?
They find it again, getting them for unless they work.
Yeah, these ones that have, the 180 or so that had user fees last year and didn't work a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many years they were continuing to do that.
But you think there might be a fallout on that?
Yeah, perhaps. I hope so. That's what we're banking on, to suggest this as an option. We're figuring that some people are going to eventually get tired of paying.
So maybe just having something like that could be a plausible thing.
This is the table.
So where did the 40 come from? Was it just...
The 40 is looking down there and basically, if you didn't want to go out and work, when you get down to 30, that's getting down to...
That was a third of last year's season.
Yeah.
30.
Well, what was the most days anybody worked last year? You got weather constraints and bad weather and
200,
ice.
200.
We went with 95 working days last season.
So you
got, oh, you're doing me for
work for 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, I was counting January.
So you got 95.
The entire season, the 4 months, the whole season last year was 95 days, working days.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
That
included hand tonguing and James River?
No. The hand scrape season.
No, this is hand tonguing too.
Everything.
Hand dog and everything.
All gear combined.
And everything, because a lot of guys went hand dog and after they finished scraping. So they got a 7 month season for that, or 8 month season, I guess.
Jim, if someone has paid that,
is there a way to maybe divert some more attention to people that have the capability of hand tonguing to divert attention, divert their use from dredging to hand tonguing exclusively? Is there something that could be?
Well, we already give them higher limits, so I think that kind of took care. We had a lot of people hand tonguing more than it probably was sustainable at this point.
So if
we open some more area for them? we keep whipping horses, we might as well keep whipping that one.
You talking about for hand tonguing?
For hand tonguing, and it would take some of the effort out of the hand scrape season.
The only area we have to give is our control sanctuary. That used to be thousands.
Everything up the river is open, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Except
James River. Everything up the river.
The control sanctuary that we
right.
We did in 2000.
What if we open that? And this is coming from the point. Things like opening Rack Shoal Sanctuary for 1 year to hand tonguing is not going to kill Rack Shoals. And it's something that if it doesn't work, just as quick as we stroked a pin and made it happen, we can stroke a pin and close that door. This limited entry stuff, when you open that door, no one in this room is going to live long enough to close it.
Well, in the 70s, that's what we all worked on, Rack Shoals, all in Rough Cullen, the whole time.
I'm just saying,
all the boats.
If we're going to start with options, let's start with something we've got control over and something that we can ease into and work into and piece at the time. If it works, keep it. If it doesn't work, we can get rid of it. Again, if you open that door, it's never, ever going to be closed again.
Well, what's your projection of doing something like that, Jim?
We cut the Rack Shoal Sanctuary down. It is, when we set that aside as a sanctuary, nobody cared because there wasn't much out there. Because
the whole river was dead.
Yeah, well, that was only in 2010. The river was not dead in 2010. Rack Shoals, this is where the markets were in 2010. This is where the smalls were. This is Fat Set. So we closed it in 2010, and they've gone up. But still, we're only talking about 10 oysters per meter out there. It's still not they're a big oyster, but it shows you how important it is. Our best indicator of how much we do when we harvest on these other areas. And this is just such a small area to think that it's that important. You're still, and we're not going out of the water with 10 oysters per meter. I mean, it's just, it's like any cow that wants to see what's on the other side of the fence.
No, anyway, not necessarily.
I mean, this shows the bushels. I mean, since we closed it in 2010, this is how many
bushels. A large number of boats made a wintertime living on the fringes of wreck shoals last year.
Yeah.
So why is the better part this close for sanctuary going to be worse than the fringes?
Not going to be any worse, but this is what's out there.
If they can make a living on the fringes, why couldn't they make a living on the top?
That's an important lesson on the importance of sanctuaries in this situation.
Jim, where does the oyster lava, do we know where the lava comes from in the river that...
We know it's a down around there. Mm-hmm. So, they contribute the larvae into the gyre, and it goes down and around, down the bridge and around. Where the source of that is.
But wreck shoals is one of those areas, because that is sanctuary at this point.
Absolutely. And the wreck shoal sanctuary used to be all the way to the bridge. And so, we cut it back to just 700 acres.
How many acres is it? How many acres is that?
700.
700.
But we still have, 20,000 acres open. So.
I mean, if you want to go back to what you used to do, it was a seed area all the way down here to Copper's Creek. Yeah. If you want to go back to what used to, so I mean, that's...
But something has given our spats that out there, and I don't think you want to...
Yeah, but how many does it take to repopulate the river? You caught 80,000 bushels in James River that all spawned before you caught them last year. Yeah. They spawned in July and August in the first part of September, long before you dropped a drudge on them in November.
Yeah, but they're likely to have spawned out of the more dense areas, not the areas that we're harvesting. Male and female got to be next to each other to fertilize.
AJ.
Yes, sir.
If option two were implemented and people pay the user fee, can they go from one segment of the fishery to the other?
Yeah.
Anton,
no, straight. Once you have user fee, you can do anything you want.
So it's similar to the rockfish fishery.
Yeah.
You can catch your quota any way you want.
Any way you want, yeah. There's no quota, but you can catch.
Yeah, I understand.
You can work in any fishery
right.
You want.
Anybody have more questions on either of those options that Jim laid out or an alternative?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't. Will either one of these options have an effect on the decision this fall on how many bushels will be caught a day or how many days you'll work a week?
I mean, I think we would stay with the four for the fall.
With either option?
With either option, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't. And then just like we did in the come wintertime, when the days start getting rougher, and then you go back to 5 days.
Do you have a slide with both options on it, by chance?
This is going to be made available. You can look at this.
I mean, the only difference is one is kick out everybody after the control date, 382, this one, and the other one is just let it, the attrition go by itself. If it takes us 10 years to get to 600, that's how long it takes.
I was going to make a motion if there's no further discussion.
I would like to ask one more question.
Sure.
One question from last meeting that has yet to be answered, and that was my motion on the Constitution, whether we could make this a limited entry fishery.
Yes, that was the Attorney General's opinion.
That was on the user fee. That wasn't on...
No, we did, but he asked both of them.
No, yeah, it was the other one about whether or not it can limit the entry into the fishery.
Yeah. That was actually the first question that he said yes on.
So that just limits commercial. That doesn't limit the individual citizen of Virginia to be able to go out there and catch their one boat. Is that correct?
Yeah, the recreational fishing, we don't deal with that.
And Jim, you will support either one of these options before staff?
Well, I'll present them both to the commission because the commission knows that this regulation says that nobody can be in it after the control date if we do limited entry.
But if we pass one or the other, you will support our recommendation if we pass.
I'll present it as the recommendation of this group, yeah.
And you have no trouble supporting either one? Okay.
But, Jim, even though the it's there about the control date. It doesn't say we have to enact
it. It says shall.
But that's only if the commission chooses to enact the control date. Then it shall limit those licensees.
Yes, control date, yeah.
Right, right. But there's no requirement.
Well, it says that anybody, if you use it,
Right, it's there, but it doesn't mean necessarily that this committee or the commission has to recommend, have to enact that. It's just there as a control date.
AJ, sitting on the commission, what's your feelings on, just say, for instance, this committee supports option two, Jim presented to the commission. What's your sense of what the commission would do?
I don't know. It's probably hard to say, I guess. We haven't had that discussion.
My sense would be that if they have any path forward, they'd be happy with it.
I think they'd be happy, maintaining the freeze with some of these options. I do know it's important to a number of the commissioners, including myself, that there is a protection for the full-time waterman and an opportunity for transfers. In this case, it's immediate family. So I think those are two very important things, and it's important that, we recognize that the public fishery is there for the full-time watermen and the people that invest their time and energy and their livelihood into this thing. And I don't feel comfortable just pulling somebody's license, and that would maintain that. So I think most commissioners would be comfortable with that. I mean, I'm talking about the second option.
Yeah.
I don't know, Wayne, how do you feel?
I'm kind of partial to the second option also, but there's one thing I think we're losing sight of here, and that's how much pressure is being put on our oyster bars. That's something we're...
Well, it'll be slow getting back to where we need to be, but that it's better than continuing to do nothing.
Right. But, I'm like most people here. I don't want to take somebody's job away from them.
AJ, I think the main thing that we need to do as individuals, as a committee, we need to try to improve the restocking program. That's the whole key to all this. We wouldn't be sitting here if we had enough money and enough shells to go out and replant. We need more ground. We got to have more oyster ground for this amount of people to work. And what we need to do that, I don't know, but it certainly got to happen in Richmond. Yeah. And that's we just got to do something to get our senators and our congressmen. And money's there. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure money's there. It's just getting them to transfer to move it around somewhat, to me, I think that's the most important thing we need to do. We certainly wouldn't be back here every year doing this, hashing this out. I've been doing it for 3 years now, the same thing every year. We don't have enough oyster ground. And, if we replant seed, transfer seed, or plant more shells, we're certainly going to have more bottom to work. And, that's just my feeling. But I am in favor of option two. I think that, that is the best way to go right now. And I'm like Wayne. I represent about 150 watermen, full-time watermen, and I don't want to see anybody lose a job, but I think this is the fairest way to do it. We got to do something because, at the present time, we just don't have the horses out there for it.
Jim, what were you talking about, Rack Shoals, when you were talking about opening, if you open that up, when I used to work on Rack Shoals, I used to use 24 teeth heads, and most people used 18, but I think if you had 14 teeth heads or 16 teeth heads, you could reduce the effort substantially.
Y'all are welcome to make that recommendation.
But I'm just saying, the point that I'm making, you're concerned about somebody going in and wiping the place out. But if
no, I'm not.
You aren't? Okay.
I'm concerned about the machine. Hand pumping will never wipe it out. But this is a good indicator of what of how things are progressing as they go along.
That's right.
Which is important information.
Well, would I guess the way I should say it, would the progressiveness remain if a limited size of tongs was allowed to be used there?
You'll never be able to answer that question if you don't leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Questions, comments, Tommy?
Yeah, I'll make a motion if there's no further questions.
Further questions, comments? I mean, we could you know, look at these two options and maybe have a motion on, well, whatever your motion would, I would presume it would be as written, the option one or two, and then have a further discussion, I guess, about Rec Shoal or any other area, and that could be something separate. Yeah. So does anybody have further comment on these options or an alternative? Or?
Well, I'd make a motion on the second one if he knocked out that immediate family for immediate family transfers, or you can buy the user fee and knock out the 40-day activity. That way somebody's got the license, they could sell it or do whatever with it. But leave everything like it is and change that, and if we can do some kind of modification to open up a little area for tonguing over a Rack Shoals, that would I don't know exactly how to put it all together, but...
Well, I think anything with Rec Shoal or any other area is separate from this discussion. I don't think we want to wrap it all into this.
Well, that's part of it, because you need to have a place to take the pressure off the other areas so it works for everybody.
But you got the state of Virginia. Rec Shoals is one area in James River. You got Pocomoke Sound. You got
I've heard so many people say that all these people will gravitate and come down to James River because the James River is where most of the oysters are at. Is that not correct?
Well, there's a lot of oysters in James River at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's like the one green area that's going to be good this year. Is that correct, Jim? So that's, you know, you would think the greatest preponderance of boats would come down where they could do the best.
Yeah. Well, I think Tommy had a motion he wanted to put forward first. Tommy?
Can you put up option two for me, Jim?
He's got
this. Is that it? Okay, I move that...
Just call it the maintain freeze option.
The maintain freeze option, option two, as written.
All right, he's got a
second.
We have a motion and a second.
Second.
We got it, Dan. You're the third. any discussion on the motion?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
On this recommendation, is this going to be permanent? Suppose things change and they get better, you're going to stick with that 600 license, which you're trying to get to with this?
If it gets better, the 600 in there, instead of being 8 bushels a day, you could go to 12 bushels a day, and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but, I mean, would it be possible? Suppose it gets real good and we get other areas, and the increase could, at some point in time, would this be, we could be bought back up to renegotiate it some form? Or this is going to be...
Well, so you're suggesting a sunset on it?
Where the commission works, you can do that at every August, you're going to be looking at this, but...
Yeah.
But if you don't give it some time to actually bear fruit, you're not going to see any reason for it. And it,
understand,
you know,
that.
You need to get to the point that you can actually raise bushel limits if your things are doing better first, so that you're not limited to 8 bushels or have a longer season for these areas. That's where you want to get. You don't want to
get your daily.
You don't want to let more people in so that you cut your feet out from under you again and put you right back where you were.
Well, if the business could sustain more people, it would be better, because, I mean, we got people here might want to work. This guy may not want to at some point in time. You would tell this guy, well, okay, you catch 6, now we'll let you catch 10, or you catch 20, but you can't catch nothing over here. You know,
he went through the bad times.
That's right. But I'm just wondering, as long as it's not engraved in stone,
there's nothing
that it can be, at some point in time, it can be...
It will be revisited every, well, all of the oyster regulation will be revisited every August.
On ongoing, yeah. So we could look at it again.
Ben.
You never see it again.
Yes, sir, Ben.
My only concern in doing the numbers, and I know I went through it last time, the numbers don't show us doing any worse, and if you take it one step further than I did last time, in the 14-15 season, there were 641 people who participated, at least one day, some more, some whatever, but at least one day. And you take that 1,516.5 bushels per day average harvest and divide that by the number of people, you get 2.36 bushels per man. If you take the 15-16 season, there were 748 people who participated, be it one day, be it every day of the season. There were 1,756 bushels per day average harvest. You divide that by the 748, and you get 2.34. So even though there was 107 more people participating in the fishery, the fishery maintained itself to 2/100ths of a bushel. So we are not on this steep decline. Then, I mean, I don't see where we keep coming up with being on this steep decline. We added 107 people and maintained this exact, almost to the hundredth of a bushel per man harvest for every day of the season. So, I mean, are we fighting a fight here that doesn't need to be fought?
We're destroying the rocks in the process.
How if they keep the same? I mean, they keep producing and producing. We went. I mean,
we're waiting 3 years.
But I know.
I mean, James River didn't go on a 3-year rotation, and it it had 83,000 bushels versus 75,000 the year before.
Yeah, I don't remember.
The only thing, I mean, in York River wasn't even open last year. They got 506 bushels out of York River. They got 29,000 out of it the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to compare apples to apples, we need to look at the numbers as apples to apples, not apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And.
But why should one river...
If we're destroying the rock, how did we catch, 8,000 more bushels in James River this year than we did last year if we're destroying the rocks?
So, regardless of the capability of the river, you want them to all be treated equally?
One has different amounts of seasons. I mean, each one has a different length of seasons. So we're not going to treat them all equally.
Well, the harvest that you have in the James River versus the other river is different, is it not?
It's a longer season.
3 months.
It's longer by, a month? Or?
Which area are you talking about?
Rappahannock was 3 months last year, and so it was James River.
Yeah. Rappahannock was 2 months per area.
Yeah. But one overlaps. So the forest three, yeah.
Any more discussion on the motion? Everybody understand the motion?
Repeat that motion, please.
It's right up here on the board, the maintain the freeze.
What's that?
A motion to vote on this?
Yes.
Yeah, the motion to accept option two, or as you put it,
maintain
the freeze.
Well, the commission is going to require at least something to be done. Am I kind of following into this thing?
Something's going to happen.
As it will.
And if we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. It might not be something that you like, maybe. I don't know. But I don't like tying people down. It's hardworking people, you know. I think we've already gone through that. And like he said, something come along and wipe all these rocks out in no time. I've seen it in my lifetime, as his too. 4 times I've seen these rivers completely wiped out from storms.
I know all about it.
But that's what happens. Oyster business has basically been a self-limiting business. You know, you work as long as you make money, and when you quit, you tie your boats up. But it's nothing promised that you're going to have oysters every single day of the week. But at the point now, what it seems like to me, they're expecting to have this harvest every week, and they want to cut back to where you can make this harvest work right through every day, you know, in the week. And that maybe tend to be a little more difficult. And what is the major problem we have? Is too many boats congregating in certain areas? That seems to be one of the major problems we have. They just go in there and they just pull a gang bang it. But suppose you get down to 600 licenses and everybody says, "Well, I'm going to go to Rappahannock this year." You still got your 600, and they're going to eat that or eat it alive. And I don't know if that's going to solve the overall problem.
I'll show 600. If you want to put it as 200,
Jim, I think it's a fair proposal. It's certainly better than what's in the regulation to this point. And I think AJ's right. Certainly, if this group doesn't come up with something, then VMRC will come up with something. And if you leave in place what's there now, a lot of people are not going to work this year.
Yeah.
So it's certainly. Somewhere along the line, effort will have to be controlled in the public fishery, because the public fishery can't stand with so much effort. And JC indicates, you know, more money. We've been going to Richmond for 20 years asking for more money. And if we end up at $2 million a year, we've had a really good year.
Yeah, but getting more. Certainly, once you start getting more, then you can certainly start talking about expanding. But
and when the Corps of Engineers gets involved, most of the time their money goes into a sanctuary, which is not all bad because this oyster lava has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And the more congregation you have in these areas, in these sanctuaries, the more opportunity we have for strike. And you know, the James River's done well, you know. John, I was just talking about, you know, is Rex Shoals where it's coming from? We don't know. But one thing for sure, it's doing well now, striking each year. We have a lot of oysters on the 20,000 acres that's open.
Yeah.
And we didn't used to have dredging, power dredging down the river, to my knowledge. I mean, it was all hand hauled years ago. So power dredging does take a lot more per cubic square meter or however you look at these things.
You,
and
you could not hand haul down there.
No, not now.
Not enough.
No.
There's never been enough down there.
So, you know, my estimation is a fair proposal, and it's something that I think the commission passes. You're not going to hurt anybody that's in the fishery at this point. And as if they matriculate out of the industry, then, you know, you may reduce the effort in the future. And you have a way to transfer a license to someone who doesn't have a license. They have an opportunity at least to get into the fishery.
Well, that's why I said to you the 40-day limitation, or you can transfer it to whoever you want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, a cousin if you want to. That's
right. Yeah. If you got 40 days,
You can sell it to your cousin for a dollar.
Yeah, but if I didn't work 40 days, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Now. That's right. But you don't want to let people with zeros in to be equal to people that are working.
You'll add effort back in.
You got something else we need to factor into this is the fact that the bulk of your large amount of your watermen are getting old, and attrition alone is going to bring them numbers down considerably over the late coming years, because I think most of the watermen are over 55, over 60 years old, I would imagine that.
This gives them the option to sell them.
I say, yeah, well, they could hold it within the family or whatever.
It's their 401k.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's a motion and a second, and I think we've had some ample discussion. I'll take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
I mean, we have two no's.
Two no's.
All right, so we can finally. Okay.
All right, Jim, that will be, I guess, in front of BMRC and the commission in August.
Yeah, we'll ask for public hearings, give them a briefing of this next time. Yeah.
Okay.
Just. We haven't really got a chance to even talk about it. I'm going to find just to make sure.
But I just want to be clear about this was a recommendation from SMAC that will go to VMRC
yes.
as the preferred option
yes.
for maintaining the freeze.
Yes.
And if there are people in the audience or the committee members here or others that want to provide comment to VMRC, that would be done in July, the July meeting or August meeting?
August.
Okay.
August. Yeah, that's what I'm going to in July, we'll ask for an August public hearing so that it's time to make anything. Warman never liked it when we did it in September because
right.
they said they couldn't get themselves ready by the time the season started in October.
Okay. So anybody can offer, you know, comments to the commission in the August meeting, fourth Tuesday of August.
And we really didn't get over all this. Maybe we mentioned it, but this is, you know, the layout for the seasons, which is same as last year, except for switching the areas.
This is proposed for this coming season, 16-17. Okay.
And then there's one issue that continues to come up. I mean, it's just that we're interested in talking about And that's the problems that we're having with the orange basket. What we have seen happen the past 2 years, especially, it happened a little bit when the first year we started, but is that at the beginning of the, when each of these areas open, then there are certain people that have certain buyers that buy baskets that look like snow cones. And they take them in for a higher price. Once they get on the truck, they skim them off, make the basket level, and they get an extra, instead of the 8 bushel, they get 9 or 10. The flip side of that is that at the end of the season, we have buyers that are paying the same price for ones that only come up to where the little holes are in the basket and are paying the same price. We think that the way to deal with this is to make everybody have a level playing field, is to actually, since the industry wanted to go to Orange Basket, that we go to Orange Baskets exclusively, because we can't get either one of these things through court, because they say there's another, you know, they can, if they put it in a tub, it would have been all right. So the judge gets confused. So we would like to change the regulation so that for everything except for seed, that it's Orange Basket only, has to be level across from side to side in the Orange Basket. If you sell any more, if you buy or sell slack or over, then both the buyer and the seller are in violation.
That's the actual law right now, isn't it, Jim?
Nope. It says level tub.
Level tub. I mean,
But see, if you take a basket in and you got a snow cone, they say to a judge, if I dumped that into a tub, it would have been okay. Because we're using two different types of measurement. And we can't get anything to stick.
What if the product goes to the state?
Huh?
What if it's
going to the state? Doesn't make a difference. They can't leave the waterman's boat except for in a level orange basket.
Okay. So a guy goes to Chrisfield and he has a snow cone.
He can't do that.
Who's going to stop it?
Well, we can give a ticket for that.
Okay.
Right now you can't get that through. I mean, it doesn't stand up in court. Because they say that if it's a tub, it would have been okay.
So is all
you can take
fine?
You can take the orange basket and dump it in the tub if it's been cold in the orange basket and it'll fill the tub.
And it's fine.
If
and
you shovel it in the orange basket, then it's not a tub.
It is. That's right. And if we see that people are doing that, if they continue to subvert it by, say, taking their 16 baskets out empty and put it on the floor. And then when they get the dock, they tub out of that, then we may have to make another change and say they got to be basket the entire time in the boat.
But are most people culling in orange basket? Is that what they do?
Most people that are doing it correctly are tubbing right from the get-go. They give a good measure. I mean, this is the way some watermen are stealing from other watermen, because it makes the beginning of the season, you know, there would have been more baskets for them to catch later in the season if they don't do that.
Is there a definition of these orange baskets in the regulation?
Yes, there's one in there.
And is this in code, the tub issue? Is that all in code?
All of it. The code's in tub, and it says that the commission can choose an alternative.
Okay.
But we're going to make it so that for the market harvest, it's orange basket level, top to top.
Is that for the Hantong fishery in the James River as well?
Yep, everything.
Discussion?
There was an situation up in Tonker when they opened that up where at least one waterman went into the Maryland side, had a coned up basket, and persuaded one of the buyers to buy him, pay him for his 8 bushels, pay him more money per bushel.
Yeah.
And if Tonker, $2 tax per bushel is what Tonker collects.
Yeah.
So they were actually losing $2 on each bushel.
Everybody's losing for both ways. I mean, if you make your waterman come in and he can only catch 6 bushels filling it up, or another guy can go to another guy and get the same price for one that's only up to the holes in the basket, well, that's not fair to the one that's doing it right either. So, I mean, we try to even the playing field and make for the entire market season, the entire clean call season, and the that you have to use Orange Valley.
Seed would come out of the tub.
Huh?
Seed would come out.
Seed would still come out of the tub, yeah. If you wanted to. I mean, it's the guys that are, you know, going on their ground and just bulk doing, you can't, you don't do that. You just lump those. But.
I think last few years, if you've got 3 men on the boat, you have 24 baskets. And if you're going to work 2, you got 16. But if you got the 24 and you take the 2 men, they'll give you a ticket that day. At least that's what I'm on the dump.
You what now?
You're not allowed to have more baskets.
No, you can't have more baskets on the boat than what you're.
What is the reasoning behind that?
What is the reasoning?
Because if you don't have a basket to put it in, then it's a whole lot easier to catch some of it.
I mean, if you got 16 bushels that day, 2 men, and you've got extra baskets on there, you're going to count the baskets. I mean, he's not going to get by you with 16. If he's got 18, you're going to get it.
He can slide in without your seat.
Put him in heaven.
I don't know. He's got a mind to do that. He's going to do that anyway, regardless of what you do.
It's kind of ironic, you know. They'll take a tub and they'll go in, they'll crib the tub, you know, and just get a level top, you know, but they want to fill the plastic basket, run it over.
It's a different group.
Yeah.
Different groups.
You would do that.
The ones that
you would do that. Some.
All right, more discussion. Jim, you want a motion out of this committee, or what do you want?
We support this because I mean. You know, the waterman, each individual waterman is losing on this, not having a standard. And you know, law enforcement, it'll make it easier for them because then they don't have to carry a tub with them to go call somebody. You just take an orange basket and you call what's in the orange basket. You don't have to pour it in the tub like you're doing right now. It'd be just make it easier for everybody.
All right, there are concerns? Yeah.
The call limit remains the same
on
a basket regardless.
Yeah, still the same. It would be on an orange basket as it is. Right now they dump it into a tub before they do it, and they wouldn't have to do that. Then they won't have to.
If you rounded it up, there'd be more chance to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If you round up, it'd be more chance.
Yeah, Rich.
Sometimes, you know, the weather, and they come in, they might come in with 15 and three quarters. I mean, we got 3 quarters. Yeah, you're not going to worry about that piddly stuff right there. Okay.
You can buy a piece of a basket.
Yeah. All right.
For that one basket.
Yeah.
We've always done that.
Okay.
Because the tub says level tub for that, too. But if somebody had 15 and a half, you do have, you know.
As long as the ticket says that.
Yeah.
Does the regulation state that while you're scraping or dredging, that bushes have to be in a basket? There can't be anything loose on the deck.
No, you can still do it loose if you want to do it. But you got to have them tubbed up when they come out of the basket, in a basket.
When you come to the dock.
Yeah, when you go across the dock. Yeah.
Oh, so they can be working on the rock, dredging, and they can throw them loose in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but most people don't do that. I mean, there's very few people doing that.
Don't they have to shovel in a basket before they leave the rock?
They do.
Huh?
They have to shovel in a basket before they leave the rock, don't they?
I think so.
Some of them know, because if you were coming in to go to a falls, you wouldn't do that. You have to put a tag on them before you leave the rock. But you don't have to do that. And hopefully, you know, it may be that you have to deal with that loose next year if this doesn't solve it, but hopefully this will solve it, or at least help. I think for the rotation areas it'll help a lot. We still may have a little bit of problem in the sea there, in the James River Hantong areas. But
have you spoken to law enforcement about this? I mean, what do they say? They're just going to judge this? There's no way to judge it but by sight alone?
They're not going to. I mean, the problem is that whenever they take to court, they lose. So they give up on it. You know, if you're going to lose and the judge says, don't bring me something in here that's got 2 different measurements, then they're just not going to do that.
Thing that concerned me, if you go out there on a rough day, the first of your 16 bushels by the end of the day might be down that much.
Yeah.
Well, if you're honest,
just fill them up.
You might have to add some out of the other one to fill them up.
So if you cull in one of those, though, they don't settle much.
No.
All right. Any motion? Want to put this into a motion or leave it alone? What's the pleasure of the committee?
I move that we accept the recommendation Jim's making to the, that we recommend to the commission this recommendation.
To eliminate the use of a tub for market-sized oysters.
And require a level basket. Buyer and seller both equally share if it turns it to be overfull, underfull.
Second that.
Got a motion and a second. Now, just to be clear, it's not necessarily just an orange basket. It can be any plastic basket. Green, purple.
Yeah, it can be any color. Blue, green. There are different colors of them.
Fish basket or scallop basket.
But not different than the measurement that we have there.
Correct.
Yeah. I like some of them oranges.
We're being half joking. Okay, any discussion on the motion then? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Good Lord, you're tearing it up when it's orange and blue.
Purple.
Okay. Do you have anything more? Or did anybody want to go back to the discussion we had before or that was happening about Rec Shoal or any other area? I mean, this would be the chance to do it because I guess we won't be meeting again.
Unless you want to.
Not really. No offense, but.
That's something else I want to bring up.
Yeah.
In the Ocomico, Palmer's Bar, why can't that be open for Tom?
Well, we haven't put any seed there.
Well, it's some oysters there.
Yeah, there's always a few oysters there, yeah.
And I know we need to, if we got any area that we can expand a little bit just to help the watermen out. You know, I'd like to see that done, and you know, I'd like to try to get that area open.
Yeah, that's a harder one for us to plant seed on because it's softer.
but even if it wasn't open for 1 month of the season, I think it would help those guys out down there that tong so.
This is only hand tong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think we need a motion, but I think we should keep it in mind when it comes before.
If y'all want me to add that one, I mean, that's not right now. We have the three bars, mm-hmm. So I mean, we could add that if you wanted to advertise for that.
I would. I would like to. You know, we could make that into a motion to send that to the commission.
I'll second that.
Everybody understand that? This is up in the Ocomico. There's an additional bar to open up there. How big is that, Jim?
It's a couple acres. The bar itself is not an acre. The public ground is. But, you know, you got the issues there. It's around the corner, and, it's next to some people that got private ground that have seed on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would have some concern with that one.
But it's hand on, not dredging, it's hand on.
Hand on, yeah. And Mr. Hadley has ground there with one that I know that he plants over there.
Okay. There's a motion and a second to recommend opening that additional bar. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Any other discussion?
Well, if we're going to make a motion to open something, then I will make a motion to open Rack Shoals. To a hand tong area, and Jim, I know you're opposed to it, and we'll butt heads all night if you want to, and that's fine. But is there some way? And I don't know how, because I don't know how you keep all the statistics. But if it were to be opened, is there some way that you could track effort that was drawn away from the hand scrape because of that? I mean, just as a I won't say a trial, but as a guide to.
I mean, that's not going to happen because the local guys there are going to go in October to that area, the ones that stay up there and hand on the whole 7 months. And then they'll go back there in after the hand scrape season closes, and they'll stay in there in the meantime. I mean, that's the biggest orchards in the river, so there will not be a day that there won't be anybody in there until they're gone.
You're saying there's not a single person that's going to stay home from hand scraping to go catch four more bushels to the man.
No, you got more than you possibly need to go in there and catch all of them just hand tongers alone.
I just still like
well, did
to
you
make,
want to make
I still like to make the motion.
Yes, sir.
I'll second it.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I'd like to speak against the motion. I think that we've seen the James River become very productive in recent years. Rex Shoal has been cut down tremendously from what originally it was as far as the sanctuary area. We don't know why the James River is as productive as it is, but it is productive, and I think we'd be really sticking our heads in the sand to endanger the 20,000 acres that are producing oysters now to go into a 700-acre area and catch the oysters that are there that may be the real broodstock that's keeping this river alive. So I think we'd be better off to leave that like it is and continue to harvest off the surrounding areas.
That sounds real good, and I'd like to add to that. And I've been growing oysters in the James River since the 70s, and in my opinion, one of the major problems that the James River had was an idle fleet that would consist of about 200 ships back in the 70s, and it's now been reduced to about 7 or 9. And all those ships that were running across that river like that right there, when the fresh water came from freshets down the river, those ships would cause the water to diffuse and go everywhere. And that fresh water was very detrimental to a lot of areas. And I saw a lot of oysters die from that on a regular basis, as well as Lakey here. And I can remember well, you calling me up one time and talking about getting a barge load of salt to dump over there to see if you couldn't get your oysters to survive. Mm-hmm. But ever since the fleets of those ships have been left, the amount of damage that we've been having in the river has reduced substantially. Unbelievable the difference. Now, I've got oyster ground over at Tyler's Beach. I've got oyster ground over at Lawrence Creek. I got it over on Ghost next to the Idle Fleet. I've got all the way around Mulberry Island, and every single ground that I have where we're dredging on it every day or every other day with just my son, we've got strike all the time, everywhere. No problem at all. And we're doing so well that although I maintain licenses to be able to go out on the public, we haven't had to do that because we've got product. So although what you're saying is true, Lakey, I think the biggest difference in what you're saying is when they moved all that 200 ships from that idle fleet, that changed the whole, that made the river be like it used to be in the old days. You don't have that floating dam sitting over there causing the fresh water to diffuse everywhere. I can remember working over on Horsehead, and they had that bunker crude oil that was on them ships that would float down. You'd see globs of tar running right by me, and VMRC would come by to check my oysters, and they were just beautiful. They would never mess with them. But I'd point out, say, look at the globs of tar come down the river, and they couldn't do anything about it. But that's all gone now, and it makes a big difference in that river, and I think that's something that's very important, and I think that's one of the reasons the river's doing so well now.
More comments on the motion. Ben, so this would be open the 700 acres, all 700 acres, and to Hantong for
Hantong
what?
Exclusively.
Right. And
even if you wanted, I will amend the motion, and I would say during the 3 months of hams grade, the November, December, and January,
to defer
effort out of the hams grade fishery into the...
That's a good idea.
All 700 acres?
All, yes, sir.
Okay. And that was for January, February?
November, December,
November.
January. The
okay.
The 3 months that the hams grape season is open.
Does that change your mind any, Lecky?
No. I just think that if we have seen an increase in oysters, 1986 we saw this industry collapse in Virginia. And we started in the Rappahannock with the Virginia Oyster Heritage Program probably in the 90s, and we basically had nothing to work. There were arguments before the commission. I went on the commission in 1996. There were arguments before the commission each year to open these areas, but there was nothing to catch. And a lot of restoration went into the Rappahannock. A lot of money went into the Rappahannock, and a lot of oysters were put on. A few oysters were put on sanctuary areas, and that river is producing a tremendous amount of oysters now each year, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the oysters develop some resistance we've created sanctuaries for these oysters to allow the rootstock to reproduce and to spawn and gyro up and down that river to strike the areas that are producing these oysters. And I think the same thing's happening in James River. And I certainly don't think that we're going to derive enough benefit out of the 700 acres to take a chance on reducing the amount of strike that we have in the rest of the entire river at this point. I think that we are on a good course. We're harvesting a lot of product, and I think we need to stay on that course. But that's my opinion after being in the industry about as long as John has.
Well, that's good that you say that, but I can remember coming to a meeting over here one time, and you probably remember this well, Jim. There was a time when you had put forth this idea that all oysters that were 4 inches and up need to be thrown back in the river. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And I'd come over here at this meeting, and I had oysters that I was catching off a horse head, and all of them were as long as the box was wide. They were all like 6 or 8 inches long. And then I had nice big oysters that I got over at Marlborough Island Point. And all those long oysters that were like 5, 6 inches long, I'd ask you if those oysters were the kinds that you wanted to throw back, and you said, no, those aren't any good. And I don't know if you remember that, but in any event, after the meeting, there were two guys that came from the commission, came down and talked to me, and they said they were ready to close the whole river down until I brought that to their attention. A lot of those large oysters that were coming from those areas like that, they were long and snappy, and I would take them and put them inshore where my grounds were, where the oysters, they were long and snappy, but they were sharp all the way around. So if they grew a quarter of an inch, they would grow a quarter of an inch in length, but they would also grow a quarter of an inch on each side, and they were actually round themselves up after a year or so. And so a lot of those oysters that just get long and snappy, they if they get moved, what I was doing, it was a benefit.
More discussion on the motion, which is to open Rex Shoals and the James River 700 acres, November, December, January, concurrent with James River Hand Scrape. And that would be open to Hantong only.
Correct.
Okay, we'll take the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Abstain.
Abstain. Abstain. Okay, so can we have a show of hands for yes? 1, 2, 3. Dan, what were you?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay. Well, we appreciate the honesty. Okay, so that's 3 yes. No? How many no's? We're show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And abstentions, then 1, 2, 3. Abstain.
Are you going to work
out?
Dan, Richie, and AJ.
Okay, any other discussion? Jim, do you have anything else?
We took care of the
so SAV. We're okay. Yeah, we did the SAV part in the beginning. You're going to work on that. And we don't have another reason to meet then, as far as I know. Okay.
What was the SAV? I missed that. What was that?
That was at the... Go ahead.
Talk to you about it.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you more because I was hoping you might serve on it. We're going to form a subcommittee.
You asked the wrong question.
Yeah, you're chairman.
Yeah. No one here.
You're chairman. Don't know it.
That's right.
All right, well, you know, I appreciate Jim and staff coming up. Your responsibility is to manage this fishery.
I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
Just since the restoration, as was discussed earlier, is a big key to maintaining this, where do we stand right now in restoration, shell planting-wise and whatnot, for the year for this year?
The bars should be in place the next day or so to start dredging shell.
Are they going across the river here, Kim? They're going to work out.
So we haven't put shells overboard yet?
No. We're waiting for the dredger to get in. I mean, it's they've had problems with getting kicked out of their location in Maryland. So
Has the permit been granted to dig?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I received no notification as a neighboring leaseholder. to object or give my blessing. We didn't, I should say. And I was just curious where it stood, if we're proceeding or...
Yep.
Well, maybe we can look into that, where the notification was.
We don't give ourselves permits, so it would have been up to the board.
Oh, okay. So do you usually get court notification?
So you did this up to the Army Corps? Is that what...
Any other questions, comments? Well, Jim and staff, I want to thank you guys for putting all this time and effort into it. You know, your responsibility is to manage this fishery to be sustainable. And I want to thank all the committee members. You all put a lot of time and effort into this as well.
I'll still send out a thing to everybody.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Or maybe not tomorrow, next day. Or the end of the week, I'll send out for those slides so you can look at them again.
All right. And again, this is going to be heard at the public hearing. Will be the fourth Tuesday of August. So, all right. Thank you.